Scripture reading is Ezekiel chapter 47, verses 1 through 5. I read, "Then he brought me back to the door of the house, and behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house toward the east, for the house faced east. And the water was flowing down from the right side of the house, from south of the altar. He brought me up by way of the north gate, and led me around on the outside to the outer gate, by way of the gate that faces east. And behold, water was trickling from the south side. When the man went out toward the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he led me through the water, water reaching the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching the loins. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not ford, for the water had risen. Enough water to swimming, a river that could not be forded." Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of over 10,000 branch churches in Korea and all over the world, local sanctuary members, those who are attending the service on the internet worldwide, GCN viewing audiences, children of Sunday school. This is the 21st session of God Measures Our Faith. Jewelry cases will have different values according to what kinds of jewels are put in there rather than the cases themselves. You are very precious vessels that contain the most precious treasures of the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7 says, "For God who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We were only earthen vessels that were made of clay. But as the light of the gospel was contained in us, we became treasure boxes that contained treasures. And are there any of you who have forgotten how precious you are and are mistreating yourselves? Namely, are there any of you who are destroying and polluting yourselves by committing grave sins that are difficult to be forgiven, causing yourselves to become vessels that are no longer worthy to contain treasures? I hope nobody will be such foolish ones any longer. Keep yourself pure and firm until the day the Lord comes back. I hope you will keep the treasure that is in you safely. In doing so, I pray in the name of the Lord that you will be able to stand as a jewelry case that contained precious treasures before the Lord on the last day. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, viewing audiences, the 12th sin that deprives of salvation is to defile the temple of God. The Bible clearly warns us of the grave sins that deprive of salvation. And to defile the temple of God, namely to severely defile our body and mind, belongs to one of those sins. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 16 to 17 says, "Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" So you and I are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in us. When we accept Jesus Christ, we repent, we acknowledge that we are sinners, and when we open our hearts and accept Jesus Christ, God gives us the Holy Spirit as a gift in our heart. And from that time, our names are written in the book of life in heaven. It writes at a certain moment, at a certain time, at a certain day, on a certain day, at a certain place, this certain person accepted Jesus Christ. This way we, our names are written in the book of life in heaven. So, if any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. Our hearts contain the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in our heart. And so the heart is the temple of God. And if we destroy our heart, God will destroy us. For the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. So because the temple of God must be holy, so if you make your heart holy, you yourself become holy, and you become a valuable, noble person who is loved by God, and the enemy devil and Satan will tremble because of you, and they will not be able to come near you, and you will be such precious ones and valued in the heavenly kingdom. Even angels and archangels will bow down before you. Since we are saved and have become God's children, God says that we are the temple of God where the Holy Spirit dwells. The Holy Spirit dwells in our hearts. Therefore, to defile the temple of God is to defile once again our body and mind with sins and evil after having received the Holy Spirit. This message is in line with circumcising our heart, which I explained in the last session. Not everyone who has accepted the Lord and become God's children will be unconditionally saved. They can be saved only when they try to live a life that is worthy to be called God's children by circumcising their heart. It's because faith is to live such a life. Namely, those who have faith, they will circumcise the dirty skin of their heart continually, again and again. With the word of God, they will wash their hearts. They will not do the things God tells us not to do. They will keep the things that God tells us to keep. And this way, the skin of their heart is circumcised and their heart is cleansed. This is faith. As I mentioned in the last session, we have to wash the robes, namely our hearts that are stained with sins and evil. Accepting the Lord and repenting once is not the end of the story. We have to try hard to cast away the evil that is in our heart. Or if we just keep on sinning just like before we accepted the Lord, the Holy Spirit has to leave our heart. It's because the Holy Spirit is literally holy. He cannot dwell in a filthy place. Of course, he endures for a long time. When a new believer sometimes stumbles in his struggle against sins, he would not leave him right away. If he tries to live in the truth again, the Holy Spirit will wash his sin-stained heart with the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, "But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light," of course God is in the light, "we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." So when we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse our sins. Because we keep on walking in the light, all our sins will be cleansed away. But if you do not walk in the light, but you walk in the darkness and commit sins, it means sins remain with you. Because you are committing sins, the sins remain with you. The blood of Jesus cannot wash you from all sins. But after defiling our body and mind with various sins, if we repent only with lips saying, "God, forgive me," and just keep on sinning, then the Holy Spirit has to leave us. That is why I always ask you on the altar, but some of your relatives or family members, your husbands or wives, they do not live by the word of God. They don't even believe in God. And they pass judgment and condemnation on the church, on this church, and they get a serious disease, and they come to ask me to pray for them. I always teach you that they cannot be healed just by receiving my prayer. They have to repent of themselves and forgiven of their sins so that they can receive my prayer and get the healing, get healed. But just by receiving prayer, you can't get healed. But you still do that. You don't even repent and you just come to receive my prayer. You don't even accept. They don't even accept God. They don't even believe in God. But and they say like, if they are healed by receiving prayer, they will accept. They will accept Jesus Christ. You know, there is no such a thing. They first have to open their heart and accept Jesus Christ first. How can you say, "Oh, I will believe if I'm healed"? Brothers and sisters, since I accepted the Lord, I really tried hard to cleanse myself and to keep myself pure. When I realized the sins and evil that I had to cast away while reading the Bible, I made notes of them and prayed about them until I had cast them away completely. I did not want to harbor any unholy thought or emotions. It's because I felt in my heart that my dear Father God and the Lord are so holy. The Apostle Paul, who passionately loved the Lord, always challenged me. He advised the believers as follows. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 says, "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." I tried hard according to this verse. As a result, after 3 years, which was a relatively short period of time, I could be assured that all kinds of dirty sins were removed from my body and heart. And God gave me a word after the opening of the church that within 3 years, I went into spirit. After the 3 years trial, and as I was in the theological seminary, I was in the Holy Spirit. And after I opened the church being in the Holy Spirit. So those who are with me at that time, they must know. In my theological college, I never prayed for anybody twice. Everybody was healed by just one-time prayer. And because they didn't have anything against me, everybody was healed by one-time prayer. It's the same today. Those who don't have anything against me, even serious disease, they can get healed with just one prayer. So the flow of spirit is very rapid. And yet there are people who are not going into spirit, who can't, although they have been attending church for a long time. And I explain in so much detail so many times, but how can they, why can't they come into spirit? It's not difficult to come into spirit, it's easy. And even when I didn't know anything, it took only 3 years. But now, there are so many specifics. Everything is explained so specifically, in so much detail. If you do this, you can come into spirit. If you do this, you can come into Holy Spirit. And it's so easy, but they still can't come into spirit. If they just obey, they can do it. I didn't have a teacher. The only teacher I had was Holy Spirit in me. And as the Holy Spirit was urging me, I just obeyed. After I first accepted the Lord, I was healed. And I just knew that God is there. I didn't know anything about the Bible or anything. But after a couple of months, there was a revival meeting. I was living, the house I was living in, was a very cheap rented house that the landlord was attending church, and he said, she asked me to come to church. I didn't even know what the revival meeting was. I just went from the first session, and throughout the whole week, I was repenting thoroughly. And I began to attend that church. I registered. Right after I accepted the Lord, I was attending a church. That was a Presbyterian church. And they never came to visit me. The reason is because we were, so it was a kind of restaurant, and it was right after I was healed, and so Mrs. Lee was running a small restaurant, and she had to sell sometimes she had to sell liquor, and the pastor wouldn't come visit us. Somehow we asked him to come, and he wouldn't come to the front door, but to the back door. And I thought that was how they are supposed to make the visitations. And later I realized it was nonsense. Pastors, when you visit some newcomers or believers, if the new believer is running a liquor shop, or suppose, you know, in an extreme example, the newcomer is a prostitute, will you have to visit her? Yes, you will. You are going there to save that soul. You are not going there to do the prostitution or to drink, get drunk. God never said that you must never go to such a place to make visitation. If you feel ashamed, and if you don't go to such places, it means you are a hired hand. You are not really a servant of God. You don't want to go just because somebody will misunderstand you. And of course, the church members, they must not pass any judgment unless they know the truth completely. And especially that pastor is a pastor of spirit. You don't have any reason to pass any judgment. There must be a reason. So that's why I couldn't really keep on attending that church. But in another church, there was a revival meeting, and I registered in that church. And all the messages I heard in the revival meeting, I realized that the Bible is the Word of God, and I had to read the Bible, and I had to pray every day. I had to do the dawn prayer meeting, and I cannot come before God empty-handed. That's what so I've been practicing all I learned. And they are all in the Bible. You cannot come empty-handed before God. And since that time, I prepared the offerings for Sunday morning service, Sunday evening service, Friday online service. And I have been doing this up until today. I've never missed any week. Because it's the Word of God in the Bible. So in that revival meeting, I learned that the Bible is the Word of God, and because I was taught that because it's too difficult, it was suggested that I read from the New Testament first, and then the Old Testament. And in the Bible, there are many things that God tells us not to do. So I stopped doing all those things. God tells us to do, keep, and cast away certain things. So I did all those things. I just obey them while reading the Bible. And whatever I couldn't do right away, suppose do not lie, then I stop lying right away. I just keep it in mind. And God says, do not lie, so I stopped lying since from that moment. And whatever I couldn't obey right away, I made a note of them. And as I was reading the Bible two times, the second time, I always read the Bible very thoroughly. And if I skipped, if I couldn't read thoroughly, I would go back. And in the second time, it was easier because I cast away most of the things while reading the Bible first time. So in my note, everything was erased, scratched out, about half of them. And the third time, I could just keep on reading. Because most of the things were circumcised in my heart. Most of the things were circumcised already. And most of the things I had the notes. Most of the notes I had were scratched out too. And most of the things were scratched out, but there is arrogance. So I kept on praying to cast away arrogance, but I didn't really know what arrogance was specifically. But after 3 years, I realized that there was no arrogance in me, so I didn't. I stopped praying for that any longer.
And
after that, when I was reading the Bible, I could feel that I was clean in my heart. And my heart was clean and holy. I thought I could live. People were saying that I could live even without the law. But as I was reading the Bible, I realized that I was so evil. You know, in the view of God's word, everything was evil and everything was sin. And after I cast away all the sins, and I felt really good and refreshed in my heart, and I felt confident. And at that time, there was another non-ordained pastor. I was a deacon. And in the online prayer meeting, we were talking to each other. We were talking about the Ten Commandments. He said, we cannot keep all the Ten Commandments. Men cannot keep all of the Ten Commandments. And God tells us to keep the commandments. And he was saying it was too difficult. So I said, I was keeping all 10 commandments. So I said, oh, Pastor, God is telling us to keep, and so we can just keep them. Why not? And he said, it was too difficult. But at that time, I was keeping all 10 commandments. There was nothing difficult about it. Now those who are above the rock of faith, if you read the 10 commandments, what is so difficult about it? You can keep all of them. So according to what kind of pastor, according to what kind of teaching you can receive, you will receive, your faith will become so different. I didn't learn from anybody, but I just, the Bible was my teacher and the Holy Spirit was my teacher. For example, serve others, humble yourself, and I put them into practice. Before, I wanted to be served. But now, I try to serve. And if somebody slaps on one of my cheeks, I turn to him the other also. Before, if somebody struck me on one of my cheeks, I was angry. I wanted to hit him back. But it is not righteousness. I thought it was righteousness. But it was not. And it was evil. And I changed my attitudes, my heart, one by one. And if you try to live, you will die. And if you die for the Lord, you will live. All these things. Love your enemies. And do not hate your brothers. And the most difficult thing for me is that the love your enemies. But because I had such deep root of hatred in me, because while I was in my sickbed for 7 years, you know, these people despised me so much. And because I was in so much sorrow, and Mrs. Lee's family members especially, I'm sorry it's in the past only, because I was sick and, you know, at that time, I could hear everything they were saying. You know, until when are you going to live with the cripple? And when are you going to get divorced? You have to get a divorce when you are still young. And how could I bear with all these things? Lying in the room. But after they were gone, I would say something about it. I was telling my wife, how can they say such things to me? And maybe she could have just understood me, but she would say something back too, and I would get angry. And because we couldn't bear with each other, and she would just pack up and leave. Also, her brother was saying things, her sister was saying things, her mother was saying things, and everything they said was input in me as hatred and sorrow, and I had these grudges against them. And if I wanted to pay them back if I got better, you know, there was no hope of recovery at all, but that's what I hoped. But after I accepted the Lord, the Bible tells us that love your enemies. So I was in agony. I had so much hatred in me. And how can I resolve this problem? How can I forgive them? I couldn't forgive them. But because it's the Word of God, I had to forgive them. And how can I forgive them? So in the mountains, I was praying fervently. And during the prayer, I had a voice in my heart. I had the answer as to how I could forgive them. So once I went to Chilbo Mountain in Suwon, and I was praying in my heart. You put yourself in their shoes. If you think from your viewpoint, you can never understand them. Think from the viewpoint of the brother, of the mother, of the sister, of your wife. And if you pray that way, you will be able to understand. So I was changing the viewpoint. I was thinking from the viewpoint of my brother. Suppose I'm brother and I have a younger sister and who is married to a sick man. She cannot enjoy any happiness. She's suffering so much. She has to earn the living. And I have kept quiet about it. I thought, no, I would have had temper and indignation, and I would have gone to that person too, brother-in-law. And thinking like that, the hatred just went away. I was thinking from the sister's viewpoint and the mother's viewpoint. And I could understand everybody's. So if you think from your own viewpoint, there are so many things that you cannot understand, but just forget about your viewpoint. And when I tried to understand from their viewpoint, I could understand everything. And since then, I have never really talked about something like this with Mrs. Lee. Of course, it's in the past. So because I understood them, all the hatred melted away like melting snow. And that hatred that I had for 7 long years melted away in a moment. And I could have the opposite kind of heart. I realized that they must have suffered because of me. Now I shouldn't hate them, but I have to love them. I wanted to love them more. So hatred was the most difficult thing to cast away, and I cast it away with a couple of hours of prayer. And so there is nothing that we cannot cast off. There's nothing that is difficult. Adulterous mind, that is in the mind. So when I was casting away adulterous mind, I never really did anything. Even in my teens or in the army, I didn't really do anything that was so out of ordinary or according to the Word of God. So there was nothing really difficult. So as I began a Christian life, right from the beginning, I got rid of all the photos of women. And there were some sisters of my friends or any actresses, or I got rid of all the, at that time, the calendars in Korea. You know, every page, they had the photos of actresses. So I got rid of all those calendars, photos. I didn't have any of those calendars in my house. And also, there was a photo of Marilyn Monroe, and I just got rid of it. And in the church, I wouldn't just look at the women. Intentionally, I would avoid looking at them. And after that, since then, praying for about a year, and again, another year, then later, it was the same. Women and men, they looked the same. After 3 years of prayers, you know, women and men just looked the same. You know, the adulterous mind itself was gone. So I just look at women as a creature of God. I just love them as creatures of God, not with the adulterous mind. I just love everybody. But there's nothing, no adulterous mind contained in that love. So there's no sin involved between in the relationship with God and me. Of course, I have to love everybody. But I don't love them in any physical way. So that is why, because I love them with the pure love, it can never be sin. So as I cast away those sins, actually I cast them away reading the Bible 2 or 3 times. But after 3 years, I realized that there was nothing left in my heart. And as I was reading the Bible, I was even more convinced that I was living by the Word of God. All the sins and evil were cast away. I think it was about 3 years after I accepted the Lord. So God said I went into spirit 3 years after I accepted the Lord. And when I opened the church, I was in the whole spirit. So there are many of you who are here with me. Right from the beginning, I revived the dead. I gave them the blessing of conception with my prayers, and the leukemia and cancers. All those things were healed instantly. And they didn't have to receive prayer for many times. Sometimes people received the word that they had to pray in the person or in the church for 15 days or something like that. But they all received a prayer and healing instantly. And the evil spirits left. So that's what I experienced myself. And going into spirit is so easy. So that's why I'm teaching you again and again. And so I don't really understand why you don't come into spirit. So, you know, I didn't even know the truth, and I cast away evil and sins reading the Bible. And if I knew the truth, I could have gone into spirit just within a couple of months. If I had known as much truth as I know today. Anybody can do this. Is there anyone who has fear and agony because you are still dwelling in sins while you know the Word of God? I hope you will be thankful for that too. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 10 says, "For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation." The fear of the judgment and hell will let you turn from sins. If you know there is judgment, because you know there is judgment and hell, if you really believe, you will turn from sins. You will have to turn from sins. If you are still committing sins, it means you are not a believer. You are a liar. If you do not only turn from sins, but circumcise your heart to have a holy heart, the fear will go away. You will be able to feel that the love of God the Father is really warm. You will want to see God so much. So just by saying, "Father God, I love you," you will burst into tears. You have to go into this kind of level. Oh, some people say, "Oh, I don't have any tears." Who does not have any tears? Oh, I don't shed any tears. It means you cultivated your heart that way, in a wrong way. You didn't feel love, you didn't love anybody. You have to receive love and you have to love others. And if you have that kind of heart, of course you will shed tears. And you will burst into tears. If you hear of something good, something beautiful, then you will automatically burst into tears. And if you go into a deeper level of spirit and Holy Spirit, just by saying, "Father God," you will shed tears because you miss Him so much. You want to see Him so much. You just want to hear His voice. And you want to see the Lord so much. You miss Him so much. So just by saying, "Father God, I love you," you will... Also, your heart will be filled with thanks, peace, and happiness. Of course, rather than fear, you have a more powerful motivation in your heart, which is the love of the Father God and the Lord, and the hope for New Jerusalem. Therefore, you are more than able to turn from sins and circumcise your heart. If you have been defiling your body and mind with sins and evil until now, do begin to clean the temple, namely circumcision of your heart. Not just the cleaning, physical cleaning, but clean your heart. If you have been diligently cleaning your heart, I hope you will keep your body and heart clean, which is the temple of God, until the Lord comes back, as said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete, without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord comes back again, right before the Lord comes back, we have to have cultivated whole spirit. May your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame. So it means we have to go into whole spirit and we have to keep it blameless. and spotless. If we have any blame or spot, we cannot go into New Jerusalem. Brothers and sisters, you should remember that not only defiling your body and heart, which is the temple in the spiritual sense, but also defiling the physical temple of God is a grave sin that will jeopardize your salvation. The sanctuary is a holy place where God dwells. Our acts of vandalism in the church or intentionally contaminating the church with some filth or garbage, the only acts of defilement? Of course not. It is not just such evil acts as these, but also speaking unholy words or acting with unholy behavior in the church are all defiling the sanctuary. Let me give you some examples. If you get angry, quarrel, or curse in the church, if you sell and buy things or take worldly forms of entertainment, it is defiling the sanctuary. If you watch obscene materials or do obscene things in the church, it is directly related to your salvation. Of course, you must not have secular conversations or do secular things in the church, such as having parties, bazaars, or exercising. Many churches, they have bazaars in the church, saying that they will help the needy with the sales money. Jesus didn't even accept selling what will be sacrificed to God in the temple. You know, they were selling these things in the temple yard, and Jesus wouldn't accept such a thing. And if you sell secular things and with the sales money, if you want to help, right after the beginning of the church, the president of the women's mission, at that time she was attending another church. She had been attending another church, so she said, "Pastor, if we have this bazaar and with this with the sales, with this profit, we can use the profit for the church." So I said, "Never. God's temple is a holy place, and God's temple is not a place for any sales. There must only be word of God and prayer, and you must not have any sales business activity and making profits." And she said at that time, "Oh, in some big churches, they do that too." If you have little children, you must watch them carefully so that they will not break anything or make a mess in the church. The same goes for wasting church things. It is because such an act shows your lack of reverence for God and that you do not cherish the things that are in the sanctuary of God. Please refer to the sermon, "Consider the Temple Holy," that was preached in 2009, so that you can be careful about each behavior that you have in the church. In doing so, I urge in the name of the Lord that you will not build up any wall of sin before God and cause God's wrath to be brought upon you. So I will wrap it up here. I finished only half. The things of the church, even little things, they are things of the church, things of God. You have to be very careful, even when you dispose of those church things. If you give out the main church, some of the things in the main church, the branch churches, you have to receive the prayer of the man of pastor of spirit, and it has to be. You have to pray before God that it is disposed of this way, and it has to be put in the record. Of course, there are books for each of these equipments in the church. So you must not take them lightly. And so those records must be signed by the person in charge. You cannot just give out anything at your will. And I don't touch any of God's things in the church in the first place. I never really use any telephone. In my memory, as far as I remember, I never used any church telephone. But if I call overseas missionaries, I sometimes use the church telephone because it's a God's work. But I never used for any personal reason. I'll pray for the sick right away. Father God, lay your hands on all of them. Let the message become life and faith. Let all Mami members, without knowing, let them not have any wall of sin. And knowing, let them make no walls of sin. And sometimes, let there be no cases where they made the wall of sin not knowing and not being unable to receive the answer from God. And it is what is between us and the Lord God Almighty. And let us have the reverent fear of God in whatever we do. And Father, heal all the diseases from head to toe, all entrails and cells and nerves and tissues, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and be healthy physically and spiritually. Light come. All the infirmities go away. Juhyung Lee and Kyunghee Lee of United States, let all their family members stand on the rock of faith and go into spirit. And the daughter, Jaehyun Lee, she is about to enter the performing art college, and let her be used for the kingdom of God. Pastor, let the pain in the lung go away. Let her recover. Let Father, burn all the internal organs with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Let light come. Mami Church, let the church and the believers to be protected safely. Let enemy devil and Satan go away. Light come. Father, protect them with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Protect all the churches, branch churches. And Mami Church, let them move the church safely. Duan Jin U, cerebral tumor, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Li Jun, paralysis of the left side face, anemia, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Be cleansed. Li Meng On, spinal problem, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Liang Jin Ling, cervical problem and women's disease, be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Wang Su Win, tumor in the uterus, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Xiu Qing Wen, herniated disc and paralysis in the hands and feet, be healed. Tang Ni Guan, lower body paralysis, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Xi Cheng Nan, high blood pressure, be healed. He Yi, rhinitis, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Yang Boi Chun, let him recover memory. Li Chun, after effects of cerebral apoplexy, be healed. Wang Guiran, leg pain, go away. Hubbing, Guo Xu Xia, rheumatism, kidney trouble, and hearing disorder, be healed. Dan Su Fun, injury to the head, be healed. Mei Ai Ji, diabetes and toothache. Sun Guan Yi Ren, be healed. Pain in the knees, be healed. Shi Zhe Ju Shui, leukemia, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Li Shu Tang, constipation, be healed. Li Jing, gastritis, be healed. Ding Song Li, mental disorder, and the devil and Satan go away. Yang Feng Hai, Lun Wen Go, heart disease, diabetes go away. Tai Wei Mei, herniated disc, be healed. Liu Ji Hua, hernia disc of cervix, be healed. Roy Wai Hua, a bad knee on the right side, be healed. Zhou Wu Jing, lymphatic cancer and uterine cancer, be healed. Sun To Wu, rhinitis be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Hu Ji, palsy and bad knees be healed. Ji Yi Chun, let him recover the sight. Yu Do An Wei Jo Jo, the piles be healed. Tang So Hua, addiction to computer games be healed. So Wu Ching Nan, Liu Fing Wai, Parkinson's disease be healed. Wang Win Wai, Wei Feng Yan, pneumonia, virus in the blood be healed. Yu Zhong Quan, lung cancer be healed. Wen Shi Ho, Duan Yan Jun, skin disease, hearing disorder be healed. Fan Gui Fan, back pain be healed. Huang Yanhua, let her husband be set free from internet addiction. Zhang Shixian, receive the blessing of conception. Su Ying, let her deliver the baby at the best time of the best day. Liu Shai, let her come back home. Tang Dong Qing, let the evil spirits that disturb the daughter go away. Kim In Ho, let him prepare for the wedding. Park Eung Jal, let her get the visa to Korea. Her Yun Hua, let her sell her house. Ho Yamin, Liu Jia Cheng, Jo Suda, Sun Wei Ying, Ron Yan Ma Ungol, An Song Chul Chun Chang, let them get to the house they want, the school they want. Let them study well with the wisdom and understanding. Father God, let the eyes see well, let the ears hear well, let all the internal organs be healthy. Skin diseases go away. All the internal organs be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Last stage, third stage cancers go away. Be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit. High and low blood pressure, diabetes go away. Give them spiritual, physical health. And let all the injured bones be fixed properly. Lord, thank you. Protect throughout this week and the week after that and week after that, all coming weeks, protect them. Father God, bless them and touch them and give them peace in all respects. Father, protect them in all respects. Father, thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.